Thessalonians chapter number 4 is where I want to read this morning in your hearing. And I want to read the first 7 verses of this chapter and try to share with you something the Lord's laid on our heart for the meeting this morning that I think will be a help and a blessing to you. From God's Word, I pray that the Lord would season it with His sweet Spirit. Appreciate the good singing in the choir. Amen. Wasn't that good? That's a blessing, wasn't it? It was good to see the choir field. I like to see folks get up and sing in the choir. Amen. I like for you to sing down there too. And God's people have always been a singing people. And the Lord has always used the joy and the privileges of music to bring brightness and life to His people. It's always been that way. I mean, you look back to the beginning of what we have in the Word of God. We find God's people always being a singing people. The largest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms, and it's the song book of Israel. It's the largest book in the Bible. It's not just a book of the Bible. It's the largest book of the Bible, and it happens to be the song book in the Bible. God's people are a singing people, and you may not always be singing on tune, and you may not always be singing on pitch. You might not always even be singing in time. But we're singing people. I mean, that's just the way that it is. And I thank God for it. He told us to come before His presence with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Come before His presence with singing. We're to sing unto Him with a loud voice. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We're to speak in ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. That's supposed to be a daily exercise. Now, thank the Lord for the good singing. I thought this morning as I looked across that choir, Brother John, I was listening this week to some meetings and some messages and things. I was recording off a tape onto disc where I can keep some permanent record. Those tapes are in there, and the tape deck as well is getting to where it kind of just drags along. And so sometimes you're getting a pretty good sound out of it, and then sometimes it speeds up and slows down and all those things. So I'm trying to get that kind of stuff over onto some sort of electronic record where I can keep it and back it up and so forth. Those days will never come back. And so, but it was around 10 years or so ago, and I announced the attendance that morning and the offering. And this morning there was more in the choir. There was more in the choir this morning than what there was in attendance that morning while I was preaching. And as I looked across that choir, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings on us." And folks singing and rejoicing and hearing them. And listen, you may think whatever you want to about this. It might not do anything for you. It does something for me. We get to singing and somebody in the congregation gets to raising their hands or clapping or squalling maybe hollering at us a little bit and cheering us on and get to the end of the verses and the chorus, maybe even somewhere or another gets overwhelmed during the singing. The folks in the choir start to shout and praise the Lord. That encourages me. I mean, that's like hollering sick 'em to a dog as far as this preacher's concerned. Makes me want to preach to you. Amen. Good singing like that seasons the atmosphere for the Word of God to be preached. It seasons the preacher and it seasons the people in the pews, and it gives us a mind to receive and a heart and an attitude and an atmosphere whereby to receive the Word of God. And so I appreciate it this morning. It's a help and a blessing to me, and I thank God for the good singing this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. If you found your place, stand with us and we'll read the Word of the Lord together. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, going down through verse number 7. The Word of the Lord says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." By the way, and I'm not going to get back to this again, so I'm going to mention it while I'm here. Notice this thing of us walking to please God has been so set up and has been so designed by the Lord not to restrain you or to smother you or to keep you down, but that you may abound more and more. God is interested in your abundance this morning. That's not health and wealth preaching. That's just doctrine. That's what the Word of God teaches us. He came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. God is interested in your abundance this morning. The Scripture said He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that worketh in us.
Christ in Ephesians 3:20. God is interested in you abounding. Matter of fact, where sin comes into your life and tries to smother and to hinder and to work against you, and where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound. Amen. God is interested in your abundance. That's why He calls for us to walk before Him and to please Him, is because He wants us to abound. You see, sin bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're going to abound, God knows that if you want to please Him, then you can have abundance. You may not always have accumulations. You may not always have wealth. You may not always have what the world would describe as a blessings or greatness, but you'll always have abundance. Now, I can't preach that message because that's a whole sermon in itself. But abundance is not always having money in the bank. Abundance is having joy when you're broke. Abundance is not always eating T-bone steak and baked potato and a salad, though I do like fats. Abundance is being able to put beans and taters on the table. And even if you don't have enough money to buy a good fried day onion to go with it, still being able to bow your head and say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me." Abundance says that the old car might be wore out and everything around the house might need to be fixed, but God is in control of it all. And the Lord will see to me because I'm one of His youngins. I'm telling you, that's what abundance is. And He said, "I want you to walk before God. I want you to please God. Not to smother you, not so I can keep my thumb on you. Not because I want to control you, but because I want you to abound more and more." Amen. Well, I had to hit that while I was here because I'm not coming back there. Amen. Verse number 2, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God." This is the will of God. Brother, I have people ask me all the time, "What's the will of God?" When you find verses in the Bible that say this is the will of God, you better hang on to them, because that's answering your question today. Amen. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." God's trying to work in you that you should abstain from fornication. By the way, I still believe that. Somebody say amen right there. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." That big old word, concupiscence, means an unholy lust, an unholy or impure desire. He said in verse 6, "That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot of preaching to be done in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. We don't do a whole lot of preaching in Thessalonians. That's probably something I need to make a matter of prayer. But there's a whole lot of preaching to be done in 1 Thessalonians and in chapter 4. And in these 7 verses, there's a whole lot to preach it. That's to be done. And I want to be obedient to the Lord as to what He'd have me to preach today. But notice that Paul commanded the church at Thessalonica to walk in a manner that was pleasing to God. And this walk is described in these first 7 verses of chapter 4, and it can be summarized in the verse number 7, where it says, "For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." The Lord saves sinners, and not to leave you in the shape you were in when He saves you, but to transform you and to change you into a new creature forever. That you'll never be what you were before the Lord saved you again. The whole purpose of saving you was to in. That we're to be a holy people in the midst of this unholy world. While others walk after the flesh, we are to walk to please God. By the way, that's what I'm preaching on this morning. Walking to please God. Verse number 1 said how you ought to walk and to please God. Walking to please God while the world rebels against God. We are to seek to please God. And God is not pleased with many of the things that are happening today. Most of the things that are happening, just about all the things that are happening today, God is not pleased with it. He's not pleased with an awful lot that's going on in the church today. Even amongst church people, there's a lot of things happening that are absolutely displeasing to the Lord. Oh, and we're living in a world that's tolerant of every kind of sin and wickedness and filth and garbage and perversity that is imaginable, but they're not tolerant of old time religion. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to please the world, you will never please God. If you're going to please the Lord, you got to walk to please God. You've got to let your life's aim, your purpose, your goal, your reason for living has to be to please God. Amen. Well, friend, God's not pleased with everything that goes on even in churches. I mean, it started way back under that church in the wilderness. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 5 that with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. I tell you, God is not pleased with a lot of things that goes on in churches. He that wasn't pleased with what was happening in the temple that day in John chapter number 2, when he showed up, he said, this place is to be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He's not pleased with everything that even goes on in churches. I'm ashamed to say it, but God hadn't always been able to be pleased with everything that goes on in my life. I'd rather be able to say that He is. I want Him to be pleased with me, but I'm afraid He can't be pleased with everything that I've always done, and the same with you. But I am glad to report unto you today that we can walk and please God, and we're commanded to do so in our text this morning. It was said of Enoch in Hebrews 11 and 5, by faith Enoch was translated, that he not should not see death, and he was not, because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The testimony we should strive to have is that we please God. How about a couple weeks ago we preached out of the life of Ahab and Jezebel on a Sunday night. I preached about how that is not for sale in our lives. There's some things that we just won't sell out to the world, to the flesh, to the devil. And my friend Ahab, the Bible said of Ahab, said he did more to provoke the Lord God of heaven to anger than anybody who came before him. He did more to make God mad than anybody that ever lived. What about that? Wouldn't you hate to have a testimony recorded in the Bible about your life and did more, that she said you did more to make God mad than anybody that ever lived? That's what it said about Ahab. Oh, but then about Enoch, it said he had the testimony that he pleased God. Oh, friend, I want to have that testimony. I want to please God. Oh, that's what we ought to strive for. Our walk, my friend, this matter of daily living, this matter of living every day, our conversation, our manner of life, our way of living, our day-to-day walk ought to be one that pleases God.
We're commanded in this verse, you ought to walk and to please God. Walk and to please God. I'm going to give you three things this morning. I'm going to quit. First of all, let me say, if we're going to walk to please God, walk that involves a special people. Walking to please God involves a special people. Did you know not just everybody? Everybody just can't walk to please God. Some folks just can't please God. They're not properly equipped to please
please God. Oh, what are you talking about, my Lord? You tell me I'm supposed to do it, then you tell me some folks can't do it. What if I'm in that number? There's a solution for you. Have a friend, there are some people, as they are currently constituted, that cannot please God. It takes a special people. Not everyone has the privilege of this possibility. It takes something to live for God. You see, Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. A lost people cannot please God. A rebel cannot please God. One that loves flesh cannot please God. An unbeliever cannot please God. For Hebrews 11 and 6 said, that he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And without faith, you see, it is impossible to please God. Oh, somebody that don't know God, don't believe God, and trust God with their life. As someone who's never been saved, someone who don't know the Lord and the personal forgiveness of sin, they cannot please God. They don't have the privilege of this possibility. But if you've been saved, if you know the Lord, if God's Holy Ghost abides in you, you have the privilege, have the possibility of pleasing God. And you ought to strive for that every day.
You ought to strive for it every day, friend. It takes something to please God. The natural man never pleases God. The flesh is at enmity with God. It does not love the things of God, and it does not love God. Amen, that's right. Back years ago, I preached on it takes something to live for God. It takes time to live for God. It takes trying to live for God. You won't live for God haphazardly by accident. Didn't even realize you were doing it, but you're living for God. You got to try. You have to put forth an effort to live for God. Amen. I want to say, friend, it takes trust to live for God. You'll have to have faith in the Lord. Depend on Him. I trust in Him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Oh, friend, hey, you want to walk to please God? You'll have to trust Him. It'll take truth in the inward part if you're going to please God. You'll have to have truth in the inward part. You'll have to get honest before God. Let His Word have its work in your life. I tell you, it involves a special people, those that are excluded. Not everybody has this privilege. But I thank God for those that are included. And it can include you this morning. Amen. It's those that are called of God. Verse 7 says we've been called. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. The Lord is calling us unto holy living, friend. For us, the Spirit of God lives in us. He lives in me. And if He lives in us, He ought also to rule in us. He's not only to be our Savior and to be the Spirit that abides within us and a daily friend and companion, but He's to be our Lord. He's to rule and super rule in our lives. He's to be sovereign in us. As certainly as He is sovereign in heaven, we are taught to pray that His will would be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. He's to rule in us. And my friend, listen, it's not a problem of knowledge. Verse number 2, He said, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You folks at church, He said, you already know what you're supposed to be doing. You already know how you're supposed to be living. I'm going to say most of the time, friend, we know. Most of the time, we know what we ought to do, should do, ought not to do, what it is we're doing right, what it is we're doing wrong. Most of the time, we know. Most of my preaching is not to tell you something you don't know about yet, but it's to reinforce what you already know. It is to stir you up by way of remembrance. It's to encourage you to walk in a way that pleases God. Amen, friend. Well, it's not a problem of knowledge. It's a matter of letting God's will pervade our lives. That's what verses 3 and 4 teach us. For this is the will of God,
sanctification. That word sanctification means to be made clean, holy. And I mean holy as in W-H-O. That means to be made altogether clean. That be made completely clean. That they be made clean every whit. It's, you know, God's interested in cleaning you every whit. He wants to make you holy before Him. His will is to my free work in your life and make you more and more every day like unto Him. Amen. Oh, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's sexual sins, my friend, have made a mess of the world we're living in. It's, my friend, embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing to me that I even have to preach on this. It embarrasses me that we're living in a world where we even have to deal with this. But I tell you, perversity and lewdness and lust, my friend, and loose living is on the rampage today. Our churches are filled with adultery, and our young people's groups are filled with fornication, and the Word of God still condemns it. You can't walk with God, friend. You can't please God and be a fornicator. You can't please God and be an adulterer. You can't please God and be a pervert. Amen. Well, friend, if you'll please God, He'll have to sanctify you holy.
Amen.
You can't sack up outside of marriage and please God. Somebody say amen to that. That's exactly right. You cannot have friend chase every woman in town and every man that comes by and please God. That's exactly right. Young people, listen to me. Look up here at me. I ain't scared to preach to you. You ought not be scared to listen. Amen. I love you. You know I love you. I don't think we got any strength. Young people, we got some grown-ups visiting with us. We don't have no hurts of visiting young people that don't know me. I don't know that I already love you. Have a lesson to me. You can't live for God and commit fornication. Amen. You can't please God and commit fornication. Hey. You may stand in church. You may smile and sing. Come by, shake the preacher's hand. You may look innocent as an angel and be wicked as the devil. And I may never find out about it. And your mom and dad may never know that God sees in the secret places. And God sees what's going on behind closed doors. Hey, friend, it's not enough to wear some silly promise ring or whatever it is that they are doing now. Commitment rings. I've seen all that foolishness. I tell you, your finger's not what needs to get committed. It's your heart. Amen. And if you're committed in your heart to live for God and to walk with God and to maintain yourself pure for marriage, God will honor that.
And whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Somebody say amen.
That's exactly right. And it's running rampant in our churches. Some of you look like you stepped in something before you come in this morning. But I'm preaching right out of the Word of God. I'm telling you, friend, amen. Oh, hey, listen. Somebody said, I've already messed up. Friend, just because you've already messed up don't mean you've got to keep messing up. I mean, friend, God wants to clean you up. It's His will, friend, that you should abstain from fornication. This ain't what I chose to preach on. It just happened to me right smack dab in the middle of what the Lord gave me this morning. And I'm trying to preach the whole counsel of God and be God's man. And if I'll be God's man, I'll have to preach God's message. Somebody say amen to that.
That's exactly right, friend.
My. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess His vessel in sanctification and honor. Notice some folks, it might not be fornication giving you trouble. You might have some other problem. But you need to know how to possess your vessel. That's a matter of self-control. You need to know how to control this old flesh. You need to know how to deal with this house of clay you're living in, you see. You look real good to me this morning. I mean, folks all dressed up. I was thinking this morning, Brother John, that blue shirt on and that tie with all the crisscrosses on it. And y'all can't see it from far off, but if you get up close, that suit's got a plaid pattern up under. It's sharp. I mean, that suit's so sharp it'll cut you when you walk by it. It looks good. Yeah.
All y'all dressed up and everybody looking nice.
Yeah.
And folks sitting beside one another at church.
Yeah.
And mom and dad with Bibles in their hands.
Yeah.
Everybody looks so spirit-filled, I don't even need to preach to you.
Yeah.
All of you look like you're doing so good.
Yeah.
I couldn't preach on nothing to deal with your life.
Yeah.
But you see, you know what's bothering you.
Yeah.
And you know what your problem is.
Yeah.
And friend, you need to know how.
Yeah.
To keep your own vessel.
Yeah.
If you got anger problems, you know who you are.
Yeah.
If you got lust problems, you know who you are.
Yeah.
If you got problems with covetousness,
yeah.
you know who you are. Amen.
Yeah.
And God knows who you are.
Yeah.
And you need to get some help.
Yeah.
To make sure you keep your vessel.
Yeah.
And bring honor to God.
Amen.
That's right. I'm talking about walking to please God.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody said, that ain't what makes me a Christian. I done told you that. You can't do this if you're not a Christian.
Right.
Amen. Walking to please God don't make you a Christian. Living right don't make you a Christian. But when you're a Christian, you ought to walk to please God. I mean, it ought to show up and will show up in your walk.
Yeah.
Walk to please God.
Yeah.
My friend, do it with a motivation to please Him.
Yeah.
I do it with a desire to please Him.
Yeah.
And every day, please Him.
Yeah.
He'll help you if you'll do that, friend.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. It's the will of God.
Yeah.
This vessel is the flesh.
Yeah.
And rather letting the flesh rule us,
yeah.
we must through the Spirit
yeah.
possess or take authority
yeah.
of the flesh.
Yeah.
And this brings honor, he said.
Yeah.
It brings honor unto God
yeah.
through our walk. I wonder this morning,
yeah.
does your walk bring honor to God
yeah.
or attention to your flesh?
Yeah.
Does your walk bring honor to God
yeah.
or a pat on your own back?
Yeah.
Does your walk bring honor to God
yeah.
or does it glorify the world and the devil
yeah.
and the flesh?
Yeah.
Our walk every day should be
yeah.
to please God and to bring honor to Him.
Amen. Good preaching.
What about that now? This is what the word of the Lord says, Ezekiel 36 and 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Amen. This is what the word of God says in Romans 8 and 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. God, my friend, wants to fulfill the righteousness that is the Spirit. That is the end, the desire of the law in us. He wants to clean us up.
Yeah.
And so His work in us as we walk
yeah.
in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Yeah.
Galatians 5 and 16.
Yeah.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit
yeah.
and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
And verse 25 said, if we live in the Spirit,
yeah.
let us also walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
We are to walk to please God.
Yeah.
Secondly, this morning, and the first one, if the first one is enough for you, the doors ain't locked, but I got two more to go. Amen.
Yeah.
Secondly, this morning,
yeah.
walking to please God involves a special people.
Yeah.
That ought not to disturb you. That ought to bring joy to your heart, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm in the number, not because of something I've done,
yeah.
but because of what He's done for me.
Yeah.
And He'll do it for you if you'll trust Him too. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm walking to please God involves a special people.
Yeah.
Walking to please God involves a single pursuit.
Yeah.
If you're going to walk to please God, you can't
yeah.
have it as one of your life's goals.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be your life's purpose. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, to serve God, to walk to please God,
yeah.
it can't just be something you like to do when you get time.
Yeah.
It can't just be something you plan to do
yeah.
when you get around to it. Amen.
Yeah.
Back several years ago, Sister Teresa brought me back
yeah.
from Kentucky or Somerset Other.
Yeah.
That's one of my granddaddy's words, by the way. Somerset Other, only he says it even worse.
Yeah.
He says it's something or other.
Yeah.
And there's so somewhere, something or other.
Yeah.
She brought me around to it. Y'all ever seen around to it?
Yeah.
It's a little piece of wood about the size
yeah.
of a sliced banana, the way we cut them up for Julia.
Yeah.
And on it, it says around to it.
Yeah.
And he said, it said on the backside,
yeah.
you've always said you was going to do things when you got around to it.
Yeah.
So here's your round to it.
Yeah.
Oh, friend, living for God.
Yeah.
Living for God can't be something you're just going to do
yeah.
when you get around to it. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm living for God. If you're going to walk to please God, it must be your single goal and aim and purpose to please the Lord.
Amen.
Everything you do in life ought to bring glory to God.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Everything you do in life ought to bring glory to God.
Amen.
On your work, at your job site, what you do ought to bring glory to God. If what you do for a living is a disgrace against God, church, and the Bible, you ought to quit it. Amen. And trust in God. Listen, I don't mean put in a 2-week notice. I'm talking about don't go back. If it brings a shame on God to do it, don't go back. Amen. I don't drive the beer truck. Are you listening to me? I don't care if you drink it or not. Don't drive the beer truck. Just go ahead and quit and get out of there. It ain't a pleasing God. Somebody say amen to that. I'm talking about stay out of the honky-tonks and the beer joints. If where you work they make you run around half naked to be in uniform, don't even put in a notice. Just don't go back. Amen. That's right. You got to wait tables. I pour folks liquor all over them and that kind of mess. Just don't go back. I stay out of that low-down mess. Amen. That's right. Oh, friend, if what you do every day doesn't glorify God, then you even need to quit what you're doing and do something else, or you need to change the way you're doing it. And some of you don't work in a juke joint or a honky-tonk, but the way you do your job doesn't glorify God. You complain and bellyache. You go break all the time. You pretend to be sick when you're not because you're too lazy to work. Somebody say amen right there. Being an employer, that drives me insane. I mean, friend, hey, if I was missing limbs, I'd go into work at least to let them know that I tried to get there. Amen. Hey, I got something to just lay out and wait till lunch, then call and tell you why. I tell you, that don't bring glory to God. Whatever you find with your hands to do, do it with all of your might. You youngins in school swapping around on your schoolwork, lying about your homework, and cheating on your tests, giving about half-hearted effort, my friend, all the time. That doesn't bring glory to God. And you can't please God walking that way. And I see, I know. Every mom and dad in the building is poking a youngin, and every youngin's wanting to crawl under the pew. But I don't preach to your mom and dad. Amen. Listen to me, friend, when you're a parent and you care more about American Idol and my friend dancing with the stars and all the rest of that mess on that idol sitting in the middle of your living room, then you do your youngins. You cannot walk to please God. Amen. Amen. Spend more time on Facebook than you do reading the Bible. Spend more time have a friend chasing down a dollar and a dime and whistling at the woman walking down the street than you do hugging and kissing on your babies. I tell you, you can't please God like that. That's exactly what's got into you, preacher. I fell to Mean Street, crawled up my leg this morning, and I hadn't been fighting it off, man. I just want to preach to please God. I want to live to please God. I want to walk to please God. And I fail a million times, Brother Charles. Oh, but friend, if we're going to please God, I know we must make pleasing God our top priority in life.
Amen.
Pleasing God is going to have to be more important than being a good ball player, young man.
That's right.
I like playing ball.
Yep.
You won't run into many preachers that likes ball much as I do. I got preachers that if they heard me say that, they'd ostracize me. They wouldn't even let me preach for them anymore. I like ball. I guarantee you, I probably like it better than you do. Just about everybody. There may be one or two in the building that might, but I doubt there's many more that likes it better than what I do. I mean, I like different kinds of ball. I like baseball and football. Don't care a thing about basketball. I mean, I like golf. I'll even watch a little bit of hockey. I don't know what they're doing, but I like it when they fight. I mean, her friend, I like ball. I like sports. Hey, friend, I grew up watching wrestling. Dusty Rhodes and so forth. How about that? Some of you really don't know what to think now. Oh, but friend, listen. I'd rather my youngest be as spirit-filled as to be athletic anytime. Are you hearing me? I'd rather my youngest be spirit-filled as to be popular. I'd rather my children be spirit-filled as to be wealthy. Amen. I tell you, when the world walks with God, becomes more important to you than your
golf score or your bowling average. When walking with God's more important to you than decorating your house and having the nicest car on the block. When walking with God's more important to you than climbing the social ladder or being my friend accepted by the world. That's when you walk with God and please God. That's so long as what He's just on the list and not at the very top and taking my friend priority in your life, then you'll never walk to please God.
Amen.
Amen. God's not interested in sharing us with the world, the flesh, and the devil. He seeks for us to pursue Him. I want you to let that sink in. Do you pursue God in your life? Have you got a single pursuit? What is it you really want out of life? I interview people to hire them. Brother Bob and I almost never do an interview. And by the way, we have to do interviews in such a way to meet up with the EEOC requirements and all that junk, you know, satisfy everything that the government wants you to do and so forth. You've got to be careful not to ask this question, that question. I usually break every one of them rules. Hey, man, that's exactly right. I do. I break them all, man. I want to know who I'm hiring. And friend, what I try to do is to get them, if you can get them to start talking about it, then you're not breaking no rules. You just can't prod. So I ask open-ended questions, try to get them to ramble. As soon as they start rambling, then I find out who I'm actually interviewing. But I almost never do an interview without asking people, what is it you want in life? In your career, what's important to you? I ask them in your personal life, what's important to you? See, that's open-ended. They can start talking however they want to. When they start saying things, a friend that shows that they care about glorifying God as an employer, that matters to me. See, I care about that. Oh, in your life, I wonder what's important to you this morning. What's on your priority list, what really matters, and friend, are the things that really matter to you what you're really living for? I mean, you say what matters to you is God and your family and the church and being a person of character and integrity, and yet if you're living your life in opposition to that, you show that it doesn't matter that much to you. Well, friend, let our walk exhibit our desire, our pursuit of God, our desire for God to permeate every area of our lives, to inhabit every corner, every crevice, every small place of our lives. I don't want just God. I'm not fit to just inhabit them, the greater part of my life. I want Him in the corners. I want Him in the small places. I want Him in the little things in my life. I mean, you must have a single pursuit. You must pursue God. I live for God, walk with God, and walk to please God. You got this problem, though. It's called carnality. You got a problem with the flesh. Walking to try to please God is not without opposition. Did you know you could try to walk, please God, single pursuit, only thing you want in your life is to glorify God? You could do that every day and never even run into any other human being and you'd still have a problem? That fella in the mirror is going to give you trouble. Hey, amen. You can break the mirror and he's still going to give you trouble just because you can't see him. No, man, he's not there. Amen. Oh, just when you do see him again 20 years from now, he'll look a lot more like your dad. Amen. Oh, friend, but that fella in the mirror is going to give you trouble. He's going to have that. Brother Bob's sitting over there, and I'm telling you, brother, this is spooky. I mean, Brother Bob, his boy's here, and I mean, it's just like alcohol before and after. I mean, that's exactly right. It's unbelievable how that works. And this rest song. He ran into Brother Gammon, J.D. Gammon the other day, and she said, "Well, it's amazing how much more every day Brother John gets to looking like his daddy." Here a while back, somebody posted a picture of me on a website, and somebody commented up under it. I was up preaching, somebody commented up under it, said it looks just like James Powers. They didn't say if that is good or bad. They just said it looks just like James Powers. And so I'll just leave it like it is. That fella in the mirror is going to give you trouble. You got a long as you're living in this world, this whole body, it's going to give you trouble. Paul called it a body of death. He said, "It's on my back and I'm carrying it everywhere. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this old flesh and the deadness, the curse of sin that lives in it, in the day you shall eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall surely die. And this whole flesh began to be devoured with death on that day. Every baby is born in this world to die. This little one's 6 weeks old. And my family got folks in the building a lot older than that. And we all head to the same place. Everybody is born dying. I'm afraid this body has death in it. We're in a carnal body. And it's impossible to please men and God, including yourself, at the same time. To live for God, you'll have to deny the flesh. Galatians 1 and 10, for I do now. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It's impossible to please self and God at the same time. Romans 8 and 6 said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You've got flesh problems just like I do. And the flesh is at enmity with God. If you serve God, you'll have to want to real bad. You'll have to really desire to live for it. It'll have to be the most important thing in your life.
Amen. The problem with carnality, then, is a pursuit of spirituality. If you'll truly walk to please God, He'll have to be more important to you than anything else. Matthew 16:24. They want to be the disciple of Jesus. You want to follow Jesus. You really want to walk with Jesus. You know what Jesus said you got to do? Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. You really want to follow Jesus? You got to deny yourself. Yourself. You cannot be more important than Him. I must decrease. He must increase. Self. Selfish desires. Self pleasures. Self goals. Self ambitions. They must all be put aside. I'm not saying all the things you counted as prizes to the flesh must be counted as dumb that you may win Christ. And you must deny yourself. Deny the flesh. Let Christ live in you and through you and rule in your life and pursue Him and follow Him and walk after Him. John 10 and 27, Jesus said, My sheep know My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I wonder, are you following flesh? Are you following Jesus today? Ephesians 6 and 5 talks about how we fear God with singleness of heart. You cannot divide your heart, your love, your desire between two masters. No man can serve two masters. Isn't that right? Well, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, let Him be God. And to follow Him, that was the call of Elijah to Israel in 1 Kings 18. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What's the message of Joshua in Joshua 24 and 15? No man can serve two masters. What are the words of our Lord in Matthew 6 and 24? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What are the words of James 1 and 8? Be of a single mind, a single pursuit, a single goal. Say with the old songwriter, I'll take Jesus and let the world go by. Amen. And you must have a single pursuit if you'll walk to please God. Now I'm finishing with this. Walking to please God involves a special people. It involves a single pursuit. It involves a supernatural principle. Walking with God is about God. It ain't about you. There's a supernatural principle at work. You see, to walk with God, He must both permit you and then enable you. For you're not permitted to walk with God unless He allows it. You're not able to walk for God unless He enables it. Amen? He gives both space to repent and faith to believe. If you're to live for God, God will have to enable you and empower you with the Holy Ghost to do it. Amen.
Your flesh is not capable of it. In me, that is in my flesh, there's no good thing. I can't please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm pursuing him, seeking after him, desiring him in my life, but I can't live for God of my own accord. It'll take God living in me and God living through me. He must both live in my life and rule in my life. He's already Lord, but he must be Lord in us. And Lord in our lives. You can't make him Lord. You won't give God a promotion. He's already Lord. But you do have to let him be Lord in your life. He'll not operate by means of a hostile takeover. You'll have to submit unto him and let him work in your life to accomplish his will and to do his good pleasure.
Amen.
Everybody understand what I'm preaching about this morning? The Spirit of God must live in us and rule in us. That one that's pursuing God. Out of Ephesians 5 and 18 described it this way. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Lord's pleasures become your own. You desire His will in your life. You want what He wants in you. If it satisfies you, Lord, then it satisfies me. Amen. You get in unity with God in heart and in mind. And that unity will be manifested in your behavior, your daily walk. That's why Jesus said. And by the way, let me slow down right here. Brother Jeff mentioned this verse, or these two verses, a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned about a month, month and a half ago. And I've kind of been dwelling and stewing on these verses. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:13-14. It said, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And now listen, friend, he didn't promise that we could ask anything and he'd do it. Don't mistake that verse. He didn't say, "If you'll ask anything, I'll do it." If he did, there'd been a lot of things done over the years that he hadn't done. Amen. I mean, there'd been a lot of things he'd have done when I prayed that wouldn't have been in my best interest if I could have just asked anything and he'd do it. But he didn't say, "Ask anything and I'll do it." He said, "If you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it." Oh, friend, his promise was that we could ask in his name, not simply mouthing the words in Jesus' name, but it's when we get in agreement with God, in unity with Christ, where we want what he wants, and we pray in the will of God, he will do anything that we seek for. We learn to pray in the Spirit. We learn to live in the Spirit. We learn to walk in the Spirit. We learn to be controlled by the Spirit. And then our walk, our talk, our prayers, and our lives become in the perfect will of God. If you understand what I'm preaching about, say amen to it. Oh, friend, hey, and then our daily lives, our walk would please him. We become one with Christ the way he prayed in Gethsemane and sought for us to be one with him and one with another as he is with God. And by faith we pursue him. And he promised us in Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart." I wonder, what's your pursuit this morning? Who is it that has the pursuit of excellence? Somebody got some sort of commercial or advertisement or something about a pursuit for excellence. Don't know who it is, but we ought to have a pursuit for God. As a child of God, we ought to have a pursuit for holiness. We ought to have a pursuit for the perfect will of God in our lives. Walking to please God. I'm finished preaching. That's what the Lord gave me this morning. Come on with a song. I wonder, how's your walk? Are you walking to please self? Are you walking to please the world? Are you walking to please others? Are you saved this morning? Did you come to church just on account of you're supposed to? I mean, are you really born again? If you're saved, do you desire to live for God? Somewhere or another, have you seeded ground that ought to belong to God and you've given it to the devil and the world? Something in your life you know you ought to be giving to God, but you've let the flesh take over. You're not living really to please God. We are to walk to please God. I heard Stennett Blue say in his message on pursuing God years ago, "Do not seek the applause of men, but the approval of God." I wonder, does God approve of your life? Does He approve of the way you're living? Are you walking to please God? If you need to get saved this morning, right now would be the right time. Right here would be the right place. If you're not where you ought to be with God right now, right here would be the time to get it right. If there's any area of your life you're not satisfied with, now would be the time to act on it. And begin today walking to please God. There's a sin in your life you need to confess. Now would be the time to do it. Something in your life you need to get rid of, now would be the time to do it. Do business with the Lord. Stand to your feet if you would please. She's going to sing for us a verse of a song. I don't really know why we'd even need verses of "Just As I Am." We extend a long invitation this morning. It's not a problem with knowledge. For you know what commandments we gave to you by the Lord Jesus. You already know it. It's just a problem of walking and doing. You need to pray when you come. Sing when you're ready. Amen. If you need to pray, would you come? How about it, friend? Are you satisfied with your walk for God? Try to believe. obeyed the Lord today, done everything the good Holy Ghost have you doing the meeting. Pray about the nursing home service this afternoon. Meeting tonight, looking forward to that. Always look forward to the Sunday night meetings. Hope you come back and be a part of the meeting. Had a good meeting this past Sunday night. That is good. It's a blessing to me. Amen. Be good with me if you just get on tonight and I wouldn't need to preach. I done preached about enough. I done preached about all some you can handle anyhow. Amen. Maybe about all I can handle. I don't know. But I appreciate the Lord helping us this morning.
Amen.
I appreciate so much you coming. You may think that I don't pay attention and that I don't notice, but I do, and it means the world to me to see you in the house of God. You need it more than what I need to see you here. You need to be here. But it sure does help me to see you here. I appreciate you coming. And I love you. Hope you'll take some time to fellowship. Let me make mention of something I meant to make mention of earlier, and we're going to close out. Pray for Brother Scott and Sister Tess and their family. Last Sunday, they held a pastor calling over at the Pine Ridge, and they went ahead and called him to be the pastor over there, and he accepted it. And so he's going to work. And so y'all pray for him. Pray that God will help him. We'll miss him sorely. I mean, I'll miss getting to be able to... They can sing anything, play anything. I just tell them, just come on up here and sit on the piano, Brother Scott, and give me a G, and we take off singing. I mean, that's, I like that. It's nice. Having them here is a blessing, but they can't be here if the Lord's sending them there. So we're going to pray for them that God would help them and bless them. Now don't y'all run off tonight and go hear him preach or nothing or another. He doesn't preach enough to all y'all lately around here, but we're going to pray for him. God would help him and use him. We'll be faithful to do that, all right? Take some time to fellowship. You can be dismissed. I appreciate you coming.
I would say 245.
245, yes, sir. Yes, sir, that'd be good. Yes, sir. Nursing home 245.